Rob was earlier, a couple of weeks ago, we were chatting about the service, and he mentioned that my very dear friend Laura would be here. And I said, oh, I would love to be there, and I'd love to, you know, chat with her about. And he's like, well, why don't you just speak? And I thought, how did that happen? And I said, but I'm teaching that day. And he said, no, I'll teach. I thought, okay, actually, that's fun. I'm excited about that, and I'm really excited to be with all of us here this morning. Worship team, thank you so much. All of you that lead in worship, I know that there's very little communication sometimes between what is going to be spoken of that day and what you're planning in terms of your music, and yet it's incredible how often God just brings all those details together, isn't it? It's pretty amazing. And even this morning, part of what I'll be chatting about here is humility. And right away, in one of the songs there, it talked about, you know, us, our whole lives, and being humbled before God. And the idea from Scripture that He will lift us up. And as we humble, we lift Him up to a place too, don't we? That others can see Him. In January, we began a series that was entitled Roots. And we spent several weeks, as you'll remember, exploring our roots as Crossroads, our roots as a Mennonite church. And we had a chance to understand our origins, and more important than that, the foundations of our faith. And that, I think, was a really neat journey for us to go through. More recently, we've been focusing on our church assessment that we did, and then wanting to affirm what we are doing here at Crossroads, and understanding that God is doing great things. And often He's outside of our grid, and we want to be there with Him. We want to join Him. I remember years ago teaching a class of young adults, and we were chatting about something, and I put a box on the board, and my intention was to put me, or to put God in the box and say, you know, so often we have God in the box, right? And then just as I was about to write God, I heard God say to me, write you, Jackie, you're in the box. I'm not in the box. I'm out there. I'm doing incredible things outside of your grid, and you need to get out of your box and join me in it. And so part of us looking at who we are as Crossroads, understanding our foundations, understanding our origins, where we are, where we're moving forward, how we can join God, the biggest challenge is to get out of our grid, get outside of our box, and see God and what He's doing. And many of you are doing that day by day. You're in your workplace, and I know what that's like, to go to work and to look for God there. And to lean into Him as you head into difficult situations and difficult conversations. And we'll chat about that a little bit later. But to know that He's there and He's before us and He's doing amazing things in the lives, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of the people that He is strategically placed around us. And so we are looking at that, and we are assessing and evaluating, are we joining God in what He's doing? And are there things that we could maybe even be doing a little bit better? And so that's the season we're in right now. Here at Crossroads, as you know, we partner with churches, parachurches, and other community organizations. And part of us in this series right now is celebrating those partnerships. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We do this as a church, and at the same time, we encourage each other to do this on our own, to try to get a sense of the great things that God is doing and then how we can join Him in it. We have said it differently over the years, and you've heard Rob say this, like we want to be a blessing machine. When he says it better, a blessing machine or something like that, I don't know. I can never do Rob. We want to partner with others to increase the shalom in our city and beyond. So we try to help locally and globally as best we can where it makes the most sense for us. And we often talk about these things together, don't we? We make these choices together. And then we move forward together. And I love that about Crossroads. But it comes down to the same thing. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. We also think that there is no use in reinventing the wheel. And I also like that about Crossroads. Which is to say, we think it's good use of our time and our energy and our money, our resources, to join others who are doing great things in our city and in our world, with folks who share our heart to care for others. So, moving from global to local focus, I'm just going to tell you a little bit and remind you of what we're up to here at Crossroads. We partner with One Life, One Chance in Mexico to bring relief and to develop homes and resources in that area. We'll be commissioning, as Rob said, our 2015 team next Sunday, so you want to be here for that. And those who are on the team, I'm on that team, and we're getting really excited as the clock ticks down and we're getting closer to the time we leave. We're not only really getting to know each other better, because if you're standing out on a corner selling Krispy Kreme donuts with a bunch of people, that's how you really get to know them well. And we've done that a couple times, and we're also getting very excited about what God's going to be doing in our lives, and I'll talk more about that and in the lives that we're spending time with there. We partner with Columbia Bible College, just down the road from us, in the way of helping out on capital projects as we can, when it makes sense. To do so by taking the lead in leading courses, by sending and supporting students. And we'll hear more about that next week when we talk to our grads. We have one of our grads heading off to Columbia next fall, so that's very exciting. We partner with Camp Squia by way of supporting the Campership Fund, by way of helping out on capital projects when we can, by way of sending kids there, and by way of staffing. Now, I'm going to ask Leanne Krupp and Andrew Lowen if they would come up this morning. And Leanne and Andrew have been very involved with Camp Squia for a very long time. And so we're just going to ask them a couple of questions. And also, what's really has always been so cool for me, and I know for Rob as well, is just how many, we've worked with the young adults here for a long time. And I am blown away by how many of these guys not only invest their summers this way, but they spend their whole year with our youth. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? We have an incredible young adults group here at Crossroads, and so I bless you guys. You're amazing. You bless us. Awesome. Thanks. Okay, so Andrew, quick, easy question. How long have you been involved at Camp Squia, and in what capacity?
I did 4 summers, and then a whole bunch of falls and springs, so it's like 21 months or something.
Wow.
2 years. Yeah. I did, for the summers, I did 2 years of archery and fall staff, support staff, and then 2 years of the work crew with Leanne and Dale.
Okay, well, Dale and I met at Camp Squia. Dale has been there for 10 summers, well, coming up, and I've been there for 9. I've done a variety. I started off counseling, and then I went to leadership positions, and then they keep bumping you up, and then I went all the way to assistant director, and then I said, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll help Dale and work crew. So that's where I am.
I love that. That's great. Okay, and Andrew and Leanne, how has camp ministry impacted your life? You've spent quite a bit of time there. So what kind of impact has it had?
This is a large question. Yeah, it impacted, like, every part of my life. I have great friends from there. Just helps shape who you are. When I went there when I was 18, so I went there with kind of a teenager view on life. I'm right all the time. And then it humbles you. It pounds you into the ground almost, because you're with these kids for 24 hours and you got to deal with their problems and their issues. So, yeah, it definitely impacted me a lot.
When I started, I was 22 years old, and I thought, okay, well, I'll go, and then I'll have fun, and I'll make friends, and then I'll say my piece. But it's amazing how, like, a little kid's camp, you think of what you got excited about going to camp, like, oh, I want to do swimming, I want to do archery, but it totally changed my worldview. It changed my spirituality. Like, I went to church growing up, and I went to Trinity Western, so I was well on my way of being a good Christian girl. But, man, when I was at Squia, or, like, when I have been at Squia, it's just changed who I am. It's given me confidence to know that I actually have a ministry and I have a voice, and my life can look different, and I'm okay with that. And I don't think I would have got that if I just kind of proceeded through life. There was one time we were at chapel, and this little boy went up to the front, and he said, you know, camp is like the closest thing to heaven. And I thought, oh, that's so cute. But, and then when I thought about it, I'm like, Yeah, it is. Like, the community of people you have around you, like, probably 80% of my friends are from Squia, and, like, my ministry and the confidence that I get to come back to my teaching and my real life and make it into something that God has changed my life, and I can go in and kind of, it just gives me a great sense of God has a design for my life. And so every year I go back and I get rejuvenated and I come back stronger, I think.
Okay, that's amazing. She goes to camp all summer and comes back rejuvenated. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. And I think what you're saying reminds me of my own experiences, where often you hear the stories of some of the little guys that you've worked with, and you're blown away by that, and you're humbled by that, and what they live in and what they have to deal with. And I think that puts all sorts of things in perspective, doesn't it? Okay, last question. How can we be praying for Squia this summer, or how can we be praying for you and how we might be supporting you this summer?
I'm not going back to Squia this summer, but you can still pray for me if you want. I guess praying for Squia's staff. They don't have a lot of staff right now. They're kind of grasping, I think, for male, mainly counselors. Just praying for the staff that they could find time to rest, because that's a big thing, I think. People want to have that mentality that they are afraid to, like, miss out on something, so then they exert themselves on the weekends and when they should be napping or something.
Obviously safety, because we're a rugged camp. We don't have all the sweet lakes and stuff like that. We go hiking, and so safety for campers and staff. And I also, the community right now is just shaping up. It's kind of one of those transition years. So just so that there is a good vibe between the staff, and like, God always provides people, and it's really neat how to, when you see like a bunch of people that are individuals, and then at the end of the summer they're a good team. So yeah, just that the team would shape up and it would be God's team.
That's cool. All right, thanks guys. We're gonna pray for Squia and be praying for the staffing, and just as you said, that'd be God's team, right people there. Why don't I pray before we let you guys go? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much. We know that you're right here with us, that you've been with us through the worship. You are down the hall there with our kids and speaking truth into their hearts and their minds, and doing that with us as well. Father, we just thank you for the incredible ministry that Squia has had over the years and will continue to have. And Father, I thank you for all the camps that are in the same spot. They're getting ready. They're trying to get the right people in the right spots, and they are dependent on people that have a heart to volunteer their time or to give their time this summer to build into the lives of these kids and to make a difference in their own lives and in the lives of these children. And so, Father, we just, again, pray for safety. We pray that you would just provide the staff needs that are there. I pray that they'd be filled. And, Father, I just ask that you would go before them and prepare the way for what is to come this summer. And Lord, we look forward to hearing how the summer went at Camp Squia. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. And, you know, Leanne, thank you, yeah. Leanne was mentioning Dale in there, which reminded me, and maybe Rob mentioned this, that a lot of our guys are away this weekend up at the men's retreat. So if you're wondering, where are those guys? They are having a wonderful time, and maybe at the point in their morning where they're just spending some time opening God's Word together, so we can be mindful of that as well. All right. We also partner with the Fraser Valley Health by supporting Jim Gates as our spiritual care director at the Chilliwack General Hospital. And we hear stories about Jim all the time. All the time. We hear stories of how he's come alongside of people, how he's been praying over them, with them. Some people don't want that, and he just stands there with them and supports them. And he's just done a phenomenal job. And every year we get a chance to hear Jim and some of his stories, and we'll look forward to that again this year. All right, we also partner with Ruth and Naomi's Mission on the first Thursday of every month to purchase food, prepare, and provide a meal to folks in our city. We partner with the Salvation Army throughout the year by way of creating and distributing hampers, by volunteering with the Christmas kettles, and by supplying and sorting food at the food bank. And our kids get involved in that. Our youth go and they help and are part of that as well, which is really, really cool. All right, we partner with Chilliwack Middle School, and that's our community cupboard project, where we've had Jocelyn up here telling us about that, and we can give to that and donate to that, and that is distributed, again, in that area, in that neighborhood, and it's done with no strings attached, and it's just a way to come alongside of families and support them and to do that with dignity. And so, again, just another cool way that we've been involved in serving our city. And we partner with Chilliwack Community Services to provide nutritional food supplies for two very cool programs. One is called Better Beginnings, and that is a prenatal program and nutritional educational program, and for family literacy. And in a little bit, we'll have Laura come up here and tell us a bit more about that. All of these partnerships have had their beginnings in a relationship with somebody here at Crossroads. And so we want to continue to encourage you that as you're out there in the community, as you're exploring things, and as you're getting passionate about something, that if it makes sense, bring it to us. Let us know about it so that we might come alongside of what you're doing and partner with you. We are just seed planting on one that Debbie Visser is involved in, and that is with the Cyrus Center. And she has been connecting with them. The family has been making meals and coming alongside of the Sardis Center. We have a young adult with us as well who has been volunteering there. And it's pretty exciting to see what God is doing there. And that's something that we can be involved in. So as of this fall, we'll get you more information. But there's a way for us to come alongside of Debbie, who runs an online online auction site, where if you have anything left over from a garage sale or things that you just want to get rid of, Debbie will take that, she sells it, and then the profits go to support the Cyrus Center, which is really, really cool. The other way that we'll be able to join in will be through making meals and taking those meals down. You can prepare it right there with the staff and the kids, and you can eat it with them. Or you can just make a meal and bring it and drop it off. You could order a pizza, or several pizzas in this case, and just go in and enjoy it with them. So lots of opportunities, and we're going to put more information to that as we get into the fall this year and support Debbie. Debbie has a site called Two Thrifty Chicks. If you want to check that out, it'll give you an idea of what Debbie's up to and how we can come alongside of her. All right. As I considered the partnerships that we have established and what God may call us into in the future, I was reminded of a story that happened to Rob and I a couple years ago. Rob and I went to a pastor spouse retreat, and it was on an island called Keats Island, and some of you have probably been there or heard of it. It's at a family camp called Barnabas, and this is just a beautiful camp and a beautiful location. And what you have to do is you take the ferry, you get to Gibson's, and then they take you in a little water taxi over to Keats Island. And as you're approaching the island, and the water taxi is full of luggage, right? Because none of us pack lightly. It's ridiculous. It's like 3 or 4 days, and we're there for like a month by what we've brought. And so we're looking at Keats, and you can see way up on the side of a cliff, way up, you can see where the grounds are. And you're seeing where the dock is. And you're starting to put it together, and you're thinking, how are we going to get up there? You're looking for the elevator, the escalator, anything that would indicate that you're going to get some help getting up there. So as you get to the dock, and for those of us that had been there before, we knew how this worked. But for those that were new, they were starting to panic a bit. But as soon as we got to the dock, there were a bunch of guys there ready to grab the luggage and take it from us. And these guys, amongst them, was Rob Bentle. Rob and Kathy are the directors at Barnabas. So they lug them and throw them onto this truck, and then we walk our way up, but the truck then goes, they have to go up quite a steep ramp, and then they throw it onto the truck, and then they get the truck to meet us up top. So that was great. That's how we all got settled and everything. We went through the weekend. It was a wonderful weekend. Amazing speaker. And the speaker was actually talking about servanthood, which was really kind of neat. On the last day, just before we ended, he said, would you guys like to hear the story of Barnabas and how it got its start and what God has been doing there? And everyone, oh yeah, we'd love to hear it. A lot of us have heard it before, but it's always great to hear it again. And in walks Rob. And for many in the room, they had no idea that he was the founder, the director of this camp. And Rob told this amazing story from a very young time in his life, early 20s, where he just felt incredibly burdened to set this land aside that was impossible to purchase because the person that owned it wanted nothing to do with anybody buying it. He wasn't going to sell it. Nothing was going to change. And Rob just kept going back and knocking on that door, knocking on the door. Rob told this great story. At the end of the story, this pastor of a Chinese church in Vancouver stood up, and she said, you know, I just want to say something. And I think we all thought she was going to respond to this incredible story. But she was absolutely fixed on the thought that the director of this camp, the one that leads, was one of the guys down on that dock. That when they arrived, that he had been the guy that had just slugged the luggage and thrown it into a truck and walked up ramps and got it into their room and had served them. For some reason, this completely blew her away. She said, in my culture, that would never, ever happen. And so it was such a neat thing to see. We had just studied a story in the Bible where the master of the house says to his servants, there's this big party. And of course, the servants are never invited. The master says to his servants, I'm going to come. I'm going to bring you food later. And get ready. And then he goes and meets with the servants and spends time with them because really he'd rather be with them. And so this is what came out of that. And as I heard that story and as we saw that response, I realized that Rob's humble spirit had a significant impact on that pastor. Because God is always, always more interested in the posture of our heart than in the activities that keep us busy or even cause us to feel spiritual. The Bible has plenty to say about humility. And as we celebrate our local and global partnerships, I think it might be helpful for us this morning just to spend a few minutes looking at this whole area of humility. Philippians 2, 3-8 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Even death on the cross. In Proverbs 11, verse 2, we read, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Micah 6, verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Humility serves. Humility gets down low and lifts others up. Humility looks to the needs of others and gives time and effort to help with those needs. Over the years, I've had opportunities once in a while to speak. And often when I speak, I land on one of my favorite Bible stories. And when I was a little kid, it had this really cool song that went with it that probably isn't cool anymore. But it's the story of Zacchaeus. And some of you have heard me tell this before. But when I was a kid, I always loved Zacchaeus, and my mom and dad would sing the song with us, and you know, we'd do the whole action thing, and how Zacchaeus was a little guy. He was a man of small stature, and he was a guy that wasn't really loved in his community because he was a tax collector, and he really wasn't an honest tax collector. He was the kind of guy that took a little bit more for himself, and everyone knew it. And so he was sort of a guy that was marginalized and isolated. And one day, he heard that Jesus was coming through his town, and so he thought, I want to see this guy. Everybody did. The crowds were enormous, and they were following Jesus. And Zacchaeus is trying to get there, and he's trying to get through the crowds to see Jesus, and he can't because he's too short. He's too small. He can't see him. And so he's pretty resourceful. The story tells us, what does he do? He climbs a sycamore tree. He gets up in a tree so that he can see Jesus. The reason I really love that story as I grew older, wasn't so much about Zacchaeus, but I was always drawn to the role of the sycamore tree. The role of that tree in that story was to lift Zacchaeus up to a place where he could see Jesus. And when I think about humility, when I think about my own role in my family, and it's always good to start there, isn't it? It's good to start there and then move out. Because one of the hardest places to walk in a Christ-like way is before your children and in your marriage. But when I think about that story and how it applies then to my parenting, to my marriage, I have to ask myself, what do I do? What do I say? How do my words and my actions lift my family up to a place where they can see Jesus? And I got to be honest, I don't always get that one right. But I know that God's word, and this is what I love about God's word, he'll say in one verse, be holy. And then the next verse, but when you sin, I love that. Because there's room for us just to be in our human walk with God, knowing that we are completely dependent on him for all these things. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. Doesn't matter if it's mercy or justice or love or humility or grace. We are absolutely 100% dependent on the Holy Spirit to partner with us to do that. I don't know that we could do it in and of ourselves. So when I think about that and when I think about humility, I'm reminded that Jesus, who is my servant leader, who is the one I look to as an example, took the form of a servant and humbled himself even to the point of death in order to bring forgiveness, life, restoration, and peace. In Mark 10:45, it says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In John 15, verse 12 to 13, another very familiar one, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. How did he love us? Greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. If we are to really experience what it is to love freely without fear, we must do so from a posture of humility. During his time on earth, Jesus introduced what many have referred to as the upside-down kingdom. In order to emulate his example, we often need to take our culture's prevailing messages and flip them upside down. It's actually kind of a cool thing to do. When you hear something and you start to think, wow, there's been a lot of that lately, just flip it. So, for example, we've said this before, the world says give people what they deserve. Jesus says give people what they need, right? The world says to push and strive and achieve and work hard and be independent. Sometimes trust nobody but yourself. In the upside down kingdom, Jesus talks about interdependence, leaning into each other, depending on the fruit of the Spirit, right? Feeding each other with that fruit, with love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, sharing it, being together. When the world says to work hard and strive and jump through the hoops, in the upside down kingdom, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weak and weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. This is a life-giving, empowering kingdom where the king himself rules in humility, grace, mercy, justice, and love. This week as I return to work, I'm going to face situations. I know this. I'm going to face situations that I have not anticipated. Conversations that I would rather avoid. But I wonder, how might these situations, conversations, and relationships benefit and play out if I were to approach them from a place of humility? Thinking of them before myself. Giving them what they need rather than what they deserve. I think people would feel heard and seen and valued and honored, not judged, intimidated, and unworthy. At Crossroads, we say this all the time, we value community. We live in relationship and we recognize that we are reflecting the very DNA of God when we do that. We recognize the strength of authentic Christ-centered relationships. Imagine the wave of impact we have in our homes with our children, in our marriages, in our friendships and workplaces, every time we speak from a heart of humility and act from a place of humility. Anger is then diffused. Pride is revealed. Fears alleviated. Forgiveness offered and received. Humility allows us to say the things our hearts are longing to say. Do you ever wonder why you don't? Do you ever think, well, I thought to say that. Or, Jackie, you should say this, and then I don't. And I think, why don't I? I'm afraid. There's some fear that's stopping me. Maybe it's the fear of being rejected, or the person won't know what to do with it when I say that, and I'll feel awkward. Maybe it's the fear of being taken advantage, that you feel like I'm already doing enough, and nobody's taking care of me. Maybe that's the fear. In God's kingdom, again, how that works is that if I am esteeming you higher than myself and you're esteeming me higher than myself, we're taking care of each other. And I shouldn't have that fear. And then we need to have that same economy in our families, don't we? All right. 6 years ago, I had the privilege of beginning my journey with Crossroads Community Church. That was 11 years ago. This is where I get these guys mixed up. With Chilliwack Community Services. It's either Crossroads Community Church or Chilliwack Community Services. And at that time, I was just on contract. I was doing some facilitating, and I would come into the classroom and teach this course in the family literacy course. And that was my first introduction into Chilliwack Community Services. That sort of evolved over the years into an opportunity to coordinate the family literacy programs, and then to later now, at this point in my life, to be a director, which is just an incredible opportunity, an incredible honor. So what I noticed really early on is that there was a very special group of people in our city that work with this agency that have given many, many, many years to serving people that are hurting and that are marginalized and that have just really had a tough time in their story. And something else I noticed really quickly. I thought I went into that role ready to serve. I thought I went into it in a humble spirit. But it's incredible over the years how I've realized how often I've gone in thinking I'm going to fix things. I'm going to make things better. I'm going to perhaps ride a white horse. And I just am so grateful how the Holy Spirit, how God has often revealed that to me. And what I have noticed is that, again, that upside-down kingdom, it has been those who are hurting, those who have been, we would say, marginalized, the ones that have had some of the most horrendous starts to their life and have struggled ever since that moment to try to make sense of this world. They're the ones that have lifted me up. They're the ones that have turned my face towards the sky, towards the light, towards hope. It's been through them that my hurts have been healed, where I've come away on a high because I just can't believe how amazing that class was and the things that they said and how much I've learned from them. I'm still learning that. For years, I was working alongside of a very special woman who had been involved in the family literacy program for many, many years, and she just had this incredible ability to make everyone feel very valued, everyone that she worked with. And without really any warning whatsoever, she went from completely full functioning to not being able to walk and not able to care for herself. It was inexplicable. And what we thought might just be a weird little virus ended up being months and months and months and months. And during that time, I tried to bridge the gap between coordinator, facilitator, coordinator, and I was not doing a very good job of that. And what I was really praying for and hoping for is that God would provide, just as Leanne and Andrew said, the right person, somebody that would come into that role, that would be humble of spirit, that would be able to honor and bring dignity to our families. And in answer to that, God not only sent one person, he ended up that year and a little bit sending two. And Laura and Maggie came into that program, and they were just an incredible breath of fresh air. And Laura's going to come now. I'm going to ask you to come now, Laura. And if we can welcome Laura Watson.
shoes?
Yes. Very proud Greendale resident. Yes, knows absolutely everybody. And everybody in Greendale has been in her backyard around their campfire at some point. Laura has come into the role of our family literacy coordinator. And as you may know, for many years now, we've had a partnership with the Family Literacy Program, and Laura will tell us a little bit about that and how we've been able to be part of that. And Laura, I just really want to thank you for coming. This is, it's always fun for us to hang out anywhere, even in front of all these people here at Crossroads. Okay, so our first question for Laura is, Laura, tell us a little bit about the Family Literacy and Upgrading Program.
Okay, that's really hard to do. You give me a microphone in only 10 minutes. But so at Chilliwack Community Services, we have two programs under our family literacy umbrella. And they're for adults wanting to make a change, wanting to maybe go back to school if they haven't graduated, they haven't completed their grade 12. Or maybe they're not sure. I don't know. Maybe I want to get some employment. I want to build skills. Maybe they're at a crossroads. They're not sure what direction they want to go. So we have two programs. I took some pictures, and this will help me explain a little bit. This is our Families in Motion. This is one of our programs, and Maggie's there teaching. So we have a very small class. These are at Central Elementary School. The bottom floor of the school is all community programs. It's called Gateway for Families. And we have two classrooms in there. One is our Families in Motion. One is our Family Literacy Upgrading class. So here we have Julia in the white. She is our UFE instructor. We partner with UFE. So she is the instructor in the Learning Center, and our adults are there learning math, English, skills, and then the computer lab, trying to log on to the ancient clunker. So we have two programs. The Families in Motion that you saw initially with Maggie is a facilitated program. Our adults work in math and English and computer skills, and on our third day we do parenting and some self-development. So a lot of goal setting, what do I want to do? We come together in the mornings at 8:30, 3 days a week in both of those programs, and we have breakfast together. So the kids come. This year, 100% of our participants in those two programs were women. So we had, because we provide free childcare, we provide free preschool, licensed preschool, and infant toddler care. So moms and kids come in, and some of the older kids, if they have kids in Central, come in and we have breakfast together, have a cup of coffee. Kids draw on the board. I think there's a picture of them drawn on the board. So we have breakfast together, fueling our little bodies to play. And then the kids at 8:30, they go off into their school, and the adults come back into the classroom and do their learning. And then we're ready to go 3 days a week from 9 till 12. So the Families in Motion program, it has a small classroom, about around 10 students is really ideal. It really has a sense of community. And that's that kind of the stepping stone. They're coming in feeling confident and in their learning, and we do a lot of learning together. Oh, I had to throw in two pictures at the very end because these just happened the other day. That's one of our learners who has been with us for 4 years. Our learners can be with us from 1 to 4 years, and sometimes a little longer. And the little girl you saw there is her daughter, and what she's standing on is a balance board. Okay, I'm going to go sideways, so brain me in a little bit. But she's standing on a balance board, which really, they do exercises on balance board to help their learning. And the mom 2 years ago said, "There's no way I'm doing that. I'm not getting on that board. You're not making me." I'm like, "I'm not going to make you." And now our facilitator actually had one made, and she was taking it home that day. She gave it to her, and she's teaching her daughter how to do those exercises to help her learning. So it was very, very cool. I had to take a picture of her. Our family literacy program is the next step, and our learners are in partnership with UFE. They're UFE students, and they're doing math and English upgrading so that they can go on campus and have that confidence to take that next step, do a certificate program, maybe finish my adult dogwood, maybe get into an employment program or something like that. So our students are with us from 1 up until 4 years, and that's completely up to them where they feel ready. And that's one thing I love about the program. is it's very it's learner focused. So I'm not telling you can only be with us one year. Oh, you really need four, Jackie. You should stay a little longer. It's up to the learner. Whenever they feel confident, they can move on. So we're just coming up to the end of our program year in next week, and we'll be having our graduation and celebration, which is huge for all of us, absolutely.
Having sat in on some of those graduations, it's incredibly emotional when someone who has had such a terrible last memory of school to come back and to feel that kind of success and to be able to tell a bit about their story. So it's a neat ceremony. It's a chance to celebrate all that's been accomplished, and it's pretty cool. It's really, really neat to be part of it. Okay, Laura, thank you. How does Crossroads partner with the Family Literacy Upgrading Program?
Okay, any minute now you'll see. In almost every picture, you'll see some food in the back. As I say, we come together for breakfast in the morning, 8:30 to 9, for the adults and children and staff and volunteers to come and eat together. And Crossroads provides us not only with the funds that we need to provide nutritious food for our participants for breakfast and for snack for our adults and for our children, but the Weeb family does an amazing job in our chaos to do our shopping for us twice every second week. We provide them with a list of items that we need, and they shop and bring it to us, and they're just amazing. They're going to come, hopefully, to our graduation. I know Kathy's with the kids. Yeah, she's with the kids this morning. But do an amazing job. And we wouldn't be able to provide that nutritious breakfast and snacks without the partnership at Crossroads. We have a lot of partnerships in the community. Food really brings everybody together. It really creates that sense of community in our classroom. A lot of our families don't have the means to get up, have breakfast as a family together, and walk or take the bus to school by 8:30 to start their day. So having breakfast together is amazing. And we leave the food out all morning because we know we're not always on time. I'm sensing there's a theme here. So we're not always on time like you all are. Yeah. Yeah.
Very impressive this morning. Yeah. We're learning. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Do you have a story that you could share with us about one of your participants? Would you happen to have?
Okay. On the way here, because I knew you were going to ask that question, I'm thinking, who, what, where, which one? I don't know. I have so many. I can't remember which verse it was, but the humility. With humility comes wisdom, and with pride comes disgrace. Good. Everybody's listening to Jackie. I guess I'm having a hard time coming up with one story because I learn so much, like you were saying, from all our participants by going into the classroom and having breakfast with them. They teach me so much about where they have journeyed, and they continue. I had somebody phone me up the other day and say, oh, I just wanted to let you know what I'm doing. I'm like, okay. So I'll use her as an example because she's spoken at some functions, and she's written papers now at university on her experience with us, with our program. She's now a single parent. She was co-parenting when she first started the program. She's now a very confident single parent in a really good place. And actually, their picture was up there a little while ago. She hadn't graduated. She hadn't done her grade 12, just due to circumstances when she was younger. She came into our program in her early 20s, and she just wasn't sure the direction she wanted to go. So she came into Families in Motion, and she was just a joy to have in the classroom. She would, at times, she would be going, well, this is how I do it. This is how I do the parenting. I'm like, oh, okay, that's an interesting take on it. How about everybody else? On our parenting day, we talk a lot about, it's the Virtues Parenting Program, and we talk a lot about the virtues that we need and we need to see in our children and how to bolster those and at times hold on to them like patience. That's a good one for me. And she'd come in and she'd share with everybody her experiences on the weekend, whether it was negative or positive. And she'd, the academics would really, really struggle. Like we would be doing in something on English. In our Families in Motion, it's not a graded program. It's very learner to learner. I might write a poem. Somebody else might write an essay. Some person might want to just write a letter to their mom. So it's at their, where they're learning, where they want to be. So we'd do a project, and at the end of the year, everybody would have one or two things, and she wouldn't have anything. Okay, but she would be so distracted. Everything else was all over the place. She wouldn't be able to focus. And she finished out that year, and she did another year, and then she moved into our family literacy program with the university. So she's moving on. She's a registered student with the university, and she's working on math. So a lot of our students, when they come into the program and they hear math, we've had quite interesting reactions of running away and interesting language and hiding under, throwing things around because of our experiences in school. And that's what we're there for, is to provide them the opportunity to feel okay about what they're feeling, about those feelings, and work through them. So she's working on math, and through this process, she had been leaving in a not positive relationship with her little girl, finding a place to live. She was traveling from Agassiz by bus with her two-year-old to Chilliwack three times a week, 8:30, and getting there on time and having breakfast with us. She was committed. So whether she produced any work during the class really didn't matter. She was getting there. So she's been with us for a couple of years, and she said to me, "I'm sorry, I think I'm going to move on." Like, okay. And part of me, I want to walk alongside these people. I don't want them to leave, but that's fantastic. Right now, this point in her story, she's at the university. She said, "I accidentally did my grade 12. What did you do?" She goes, "Well, I was taking all these courses, and I went to the course counselor, and she said, you need one more." Wow. So she's almost completed her Dogwood, and next September, she'll have all her prerequisites and everything to enter the social work diploma program, because her ultimate goal is to have her degree in social work so she can work with people. So I just, yeah, she always gives us an update. And the one other thing, and it's very much about what you were talking to, is service and giving. And I had her pictured in my head when you were saying this, is we have people in our program who, they don't have a lot of funds. The majority of our participants might be on assistance, or they're under the poverty line, and they're really struggling to make ends meet and make a change. And we have one person in that situation and was really, really anxious about anything. We had another person from Community Services who works at Family Place, and she really thought this would be a good idea. She thought, "You might be interested in this." Took the time to walk with her, to take the bus, to get her to the program and introduce her to me, so we can walk alongside her. And they don't have money for a bus. They don't have a lot of money for food. They are very grateful for the food they have for breakfast. I bet for the past 3 weeks, even off the top of my head, she comes into the classroom with something to share. She'll come in and go, "Oh, Laura, I have this. Do you think someone could need this coffee pot? Because I don't really need it." "Okay, are you sure?" "Yeah, I don't need it." "You know, I have this box of food, and we don't eat these things. Could I give it to share it with the class?" We have so many of those students who come in and they share with everybody else, whether it's their knowledge or their time helping me clean up if I'm scrambling or doing anything. They give of their time, they give of their resources, even when they don't have anything. And that's what I learn from them. I know we give them information, but I learn so much from them in that service. I've got lots more stories, but you'll only give me
it's, you know what, it's true. Somewhere along the line, I learned to realize that every fall as the new students came in, I used to think that, you know, what will be the impact of the program on them? And I just, it shifted in my brain, and I just knew that that we would start this journey together, and that by the end of the journey, we would both be different. There'd be something that I was able to give to them, and there was new things that they were able to give to me as well, which is a part of who I am today because of that. Laura, thank you so much. Thank you. Well, thank you, Crossroads, for being part of this. Yes, Crossroads, thank you. You, as we've even looked at today, as a church, I think we're seeing that we're involved in a lot of things because we value being in community with people. And we always want this to be a great place and a safe place for you to bring people, to bring friends, and to feel comfortable here. And so part of us is just creating good community here. And then once we're fed here and we're nourished here and we feel that we're now able to go out and give, right? So you're going to leave today and you're going to go into your week. And our hope is that you have a sense that you have been loved here and nourished here so that you're now able to go into your week. And we wish we could all be together as we journey through that. But know that we're thinking about each other and praying for each other, and that together we're learning these things. We're learning humility. We're learning justice. We're learning mercy. All of those things together. Someone once described humility as a house with walls, with roof and walls. If we want to live a life marked by humility, the roof has to come off. And that's humility before God. And the walls have to come down so we can have humility with each other. May we recognize and practice humility not as an activity, but as David Roose writes in his book, The Worship God is Seeking, more as an attribute of our character that's being developed. It's a way of living. It's a way of seeing. May we have the courage to live and see and love from a place of compassion and mercy and humility. Let's just pray together.